Good morning. Very thankful to be here with you this morning. This is a day of the week that I find very encouraging, and I have made it my purpose and my goal to never get my children disillusioned about the church and gathering ourselves together in this way. I bring you greetings from Living Hope Christian Fellowship this morning. And we are very thankful for the church at Ephrata here. We will prosper more if you prosper, and vice versa. So, very blessed to have both Nathan and Brother James shared with us in the last year there. Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 18. I appreciated what you shared there. We call your brother Ted, we call him Dottie. And he just shared this morning about sometimes God's people go through difficult times. And I think we need to recognize that we're not alone in that. And it's nothing new under the sun. It hasn't been the case for even some of the most powerful, influential men and prophets that God used. Do you find yourself sometimes discouraged or maybe fearful? Or is your faith sometimes shaken or faltering? I just want you to know that you're not alone. This morning we're going to take a look at the life of Elijah. And I would like to encourage us to keep our focus right. When we lose focus, we can easily get discouraged. I've heard some people say recently that make the comment that something like, is it even worth it? Is the Christian life even worth it? And I thought, my, that's scary. When a person gets to that place. And I'm going to tell you this morning, it is worth it. Amen. Every fight to remain faithful is worth it. There's a great need for faithful men, for faithful women among God's people. You heard last Sunday about Tychicus and Onesimus and how Tychicus, especially there, he remained faithful until the end. And that's a blessing to see that. You know what? Now it's our turn. It's our turn to be faithful until the end. Brother Mose, I'm very jealous for your testimony, and I want to bless you this morning. You've been a what would you call yourself, an antique almost here in our midst. And I pray that you will be faithful till the day that the Lord calls you home. I am very encouraged that you see the need that we regroup somewhat as churches today. And I just want to publicly say I am behind you. I think we need to get our focus on the Lord Jesus and not be swayed with all the pomp and the show of the Christian movements today. I also was very glad Brother Mose came about a year and a half ago and laid hands on me and my wife there when we were asked to fulfill this calling. And sometimes I look at the commitment that I made. And I'm just going to read it off this morning again. So you know how to pray for me if you think about me. One of the questions I was asked is, are you willing to promote and to teach the principles and doctrines set forth in Holy Scripture, giving direction and leadership to the church, encouraging obedience to Scripture, and unity among the members of the body of Christ? Are you willing to take responsibility of this position as it is given in Scripture, and without the fear of man and in the fear of God? And to all of those questions, I said, yes. And it's a powerful calling. And I covet your prayers. Sometimes we may wonder, is God in all of these trials and these sufferings that we face? Especially when our expectations don't meet our experience. And then we stop and we wonder. And we're not alone. Like I said, John the Baptist leaped when he was still in the womb, when Elizabeth and Mary came together, when he met Jesus. And John the Baptist publicly said, this is the Messiah. This is the one of whose shoelaces I'm not even worthy to loosen. And now he's in prison, and he sends word to Jesus and says, are you the one? John the Baptist is sitting in jail and questioning, why am I here? Why can't I be out there preparing the road? And he sends word to Jesus and he asks, are you the Messiah, or are we waiting for someone else? And as we see here in our text this morning, in 1 Kings chapter 18, I'd just like to give a little bit of a backdrop. Our text is actually chapter 19, but chapter 18, Elijah is on the mountaintop. He returns to Ahab and even reproves Ahab. Ahab asks him, are you the troubler of Israel? Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And Elijah answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Elijah takes up a contest on top of Mount Carmel. And you children know that story well. Just imagine being alone with all of these prophets. He takes up the contest. He's not intimidated. He pours water over his sacrifice. And he prays a very simple prayer, and God sends fire from heaven. A few verses later, he prays for rain. Not one time, not two times, but seven times he prays, and he prays till a cloud appears, and God sent rain. But in chapter 19, let's read the text here. 1 Kings chapter 19, it takes on a different picture. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. That means he ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Amazing. He had just prayed powerful prayers and seen God move in a powerful way. Now he's asking, now he's praying and asking the Lord to kill him. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." A whispering voice. "And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left, I have reserved me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." Can we stand to our feet for a word of prayer? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Word of God, this written page this morning, Lord. And we are this morning recognizing, Lord, that it is profitable for instruction in righteousness. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof. And we ask, Lord, that you would break this morning the bread of life to us, Lord. Father, we ask that you will fill with your Spirit this messenger, Lord. I need you, Lord. Open the ears that we could hear, Lord, what the Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So in 1 Kings chapter 18, we see Elijah's bravery. Not afraid of anything. But in chapter 19, we see Elijah and his cowardness. Not before 100, but before one woman. One woman. An angry woman. Now, I know that an angry woman can be a fearful thing. I was coming home from an elders meeting, and I'm not used to that road yet. It's Pleasant Valley Road. You know how you get out there to the Five Points, and there's five roads coming together. And it was just plain down ignorance. I often wonder, which side of the road do I belong when I'm heading west on Pleasant Valley Road? And I learned very soon that you belong all the way over on the right side of that other road. Because I pulled up to the stop sign, and a woman pulls out coming from the other road and sticks the nose of her car in front of me and rolls down her window and calling me an idiot and all of these other things. And I was like, wow. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. And she just kept on. And half the way home on 222, I found myself saying, wow, I'm an idiot. Well, I really must be an idiot. Elijah is faced with a woman, an angry woman. I'd like to also remind us this morning that the lessons that we learn in life, we learn in the valley. Oftentimes when we take steps forward, isn't it in the valley that we take steps forward and not on the mountaintops? There's lessons, at least, that we don't learn on the mountaintops that we need to learn in the valley. And God takes His children through valleys to teach us the things that we can't learn in good times. I've had the blessing of two brothers there at Living Hope who I just love to be around this last year. Brother Mickey came home from Zanzibar, had a passion and a vision for many years already to take the gospel of Christ to a tribe that's not reached, some Muslim group of people somewhere. And you know what? His health just simply doesn't allow it. And he had to humble himself and come home. That was a hard thing for his family. Brother Melvin Kaufman, as some of you know, is home because of a situation that happened there with his younger girls. And you know what? Brother Melvin Kaufman is a blessing to be around. He is not a critical person. He is a very humble brother to be around. So I don't know about you, but my Christian life is mountains and valleys. I know what it's like to be on the mountain, and I know what it's like to be in the valley. And it's when you're down in the valley that you take strides forward. Elijah, we're told in verse 3 here that he ran. It says, when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. When he saw what? What did Elijah see? Notice the mistake that Ahab made when communicating to Jezebel. He said everything that Elijah had done. Everything that Elijah had done. Can a man send fire from heaven? It wasn't Elijah that called this fire down from heaven. Well, I'm sorry, it was Elijah, but it wasn't Elijah who sent the fire. It wasn't Elijah that made the rain come. Jezebel's target was wrong. She's not fighting against Elijah, she's fighting against God. It was God who did it. But the response of Jezebel, that wicked woman, if there ever was one, decided, it's enough with this. Till tomorrow this time, I'm going to have Elijah's life as one of those dead prophets. Here's a man who stood up to hundreds. He stood alone for God, and like I said, a prayer, a life like few men have. And he finds himself running. One moment, one word from a woman sends Prophet Elijah running into fearfulness. Think about this. Human biographers would record Kings chapter 18 and life of Elijah on the mountaintop, but would probably skip right over 19, at least most of it. Human biographers would write about Noah in the ark, but would keep it secret about his dreadful drunkenness and what followed from that. Or how about David with Bathsheba? Or Peter and then his denial. But here in Scripture, we have it open for us all to learn from. They're real people, and it's completely open for us to see the warts and all. Brothers and sisters, this can be a mirror for us in our life. A quote by an anonymous quote says, "The most experienced saint, if left to himself, is as weak as water and as timid as a mouse." The most experienced saint, if left to himself, is as weak as water and as timid as a mouse. Charles Wesley said it this way, "Father, I stretch my hands to thee, no other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, ah, whither shall I go? Author of faith, to thee I lift my weary, longing eyes. O may I now receive that gift, my soul without it dies." And I'd like to encourage you as a congregation this morning, you have a great responsibility to pray for those who are in significant leadership every day. I hope you pray for your leaders here daily. You have a great responsibility to pray for those who are put in leadership. So why did Elijah do this? Why did Elijah, in this difficult moment, run? I would like to suggest two reasons this morning. And there's probably a lot of reasons that we could come up with. But I would like to suggest two reasons. And number one is his focus changed. Elijah's focus changed. When he saw that, why was that such a big deal for Elijah? I believe for Elijah, he started walking by sight and not by faith. And there's a principle here for us. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, appreciated the devotional this morning very much. It's very interesting that he talked in detail about all of that, and I would love to talk more about that. But even some of that, you know, he said about some mysteries we can never figure out. And isn't that how our life is? There's things that sometimes we don't know what to do, but we do know what is right, and we need to always remember to do what is right. Elijah walked by faith when he poured the water over the sacrifice and then called on God to burn it up. Abraham walked by faith when he left his father's land and traveled to a land where he didn't know. But then he lied to the king there in Egypt, and he told his wife to say, "Tell him that you're my sister. Don't tell him that you're my wife." Numbers chapter 13. We have 12 spies who were sent to the land of Canaan. 2 walked by faith, and 10 walked by sight. 10 were bad, 2 were good. As you know the children's song there. 10 men said, "No, there are giants there. The children of Amalek are there. There's no way. They have fortified cities. There is no way that we can conquer that land." 2 men walked by faith and said, "If God is with us, we can conquer it." Amen? What a difference. Victory in the Christian life is always by faith, never by sight. If we want victories, we have to walk by faith. Let me ask you this morning, did you come to Jesus because you saw Jesus and Jesus came to you and said, "If you believe in me, I will give you eternal life"? No, you didn't. You believed in Jesus by the eye of faith. And faith lays hold of the precious promises in God's Word. If you are here this morning and you feel like Elijah, and you feel even sometimes saying the things that Elijah said here, when he said, "I have had enough." Or in our day we say, "Enough is enough." Let me ask you, has your focus changed? Are you walking by sight? Is it possible that you lost your focus? Or you lost the sight of what you need to be focusing on? Elijah's focus changed and he looked on his circumstances. His focus changed and he looked on himself. Look at verse 9 here. "And he came thither unto a cave. He lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah?" And then back in verse 4, he went himself a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a juniper tree, a broom tree, a common bush that grew in the desert area over there. And he requested himself for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." He finds himself depressed and out in a desert. "I have had enough, Lord. Take my life." Elijah. He fell asleep under the tree, and the Lord sends an angel and says, "Arise and eat." This is an amazing part of this story for me. God is a God of mercy. God understands when we get discouraged. Here, He sends an angel, He sends fresh water and bread. And He touches Elijah and says, "Arise and eat." Elijah drinks and eats, and he falls back to sleep again in verse 7 and 8. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, touched him. "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And then in verse 10, notice the language Elijah starts using. Three times he uses the word "I." Self-pity enters in, and that's what happens for us when we start focusing on ourselves. And it's, "I have all these needs, and people aren't meeting my needs," and it becomes, we get so engrossed in ourself. And I know what that's like. And I know it's not where God wants us to be. Like Brother Galen shared this morning, if we identify ourselves with Christ hanging on the cross and are dead to self, what can tempt a dead person? Certainly not focusing on himself. But we go through these times in our life and we have to remind ourselves and or be reminded by someone that we can't walk by sight. We have to walk by faith. For Elijah, there's more of a concern on how it should be. He's kept saying, I am the only one left. God had to remind him, there's 7,000 who have never kissed Baal or bowed to him. He was far from the only one left. Maybe there's someone here this morning who can relate to this. And you are tempted to feel like you are the only one fighting the good fight of faith. Or maybe you know of someone in this situation. I encourage you this morning, be an encourager. Encourage someone today if you know if somebody is discouraged. Elijah's condition was because his focus changed and he was out of fellowship. The purpose God had for him was now hindered. The purpose that God had for Elijah was now hindered. How could Elijah be of use to God out in the desert, all alone? Let's just look at the progression here. So in verse 3, when he saw that, he arose, he ran for his life, he went to Beersheba, and then he left his servant there, and went another day's journey into the wilderness. And it seems the farther away from the people he got, the more depressed he became. After he left his servant, he said, "It is enough, Lord, take my life." And then he journeyed even farther, and there he sat under the broom tree. What would have happened with Elijah had God not intervened? What would have happened with the prophet Elijah had God not sent him some water and some bread? If you find yourself, or if you know somebody who's running this morning, let me give you some advice. Number one is, 9 times out of 10, if we run from situations, it's not the leading of the Holy Spirit. running away is never or almost never a leading of the Holy Spirit, but of self-interest. That's what we see in Elijah. He started to run away. He ended up in the wilderness. And if we could spiritualize the wilderness, where do we find encouragement in a wilderness? Now, I know people like to go out to the woods to meditate, and I'm not saying that that's not a good thing at all. I'm just saying if we are discouraged and we run away from the very source that God wants to use to encourage us, we only sink ourselves faster. God made people in a very interesting way. He made us all to be relational. How do I know that? Somebody can be reading a book and be so connected with the person in the book that you don't even hear somebody else talking to you. We are made to connect with people. That's how God made us. And if we run away from people, we end up in the wilderness. And where do we find help in the wilderness? Elijah said, "It is enough." He came so far as even requesting his own life. Notice the prayer, "O Lord, take my life." Again, all of us face, from time to time, all of us face discouragement or hard things. Or all of us at least go through valleys. I once heard that either we're coming out of a trial or we're going into a trial. And God has purposes in all of those things. There's always days when some people just feel like chucking it. But it's in those experiences that I call you this morning, remember Elijah and what God, the message that God had for Elijah. If we cut ourselves off, get this, from the path of duty and service, we cut ourselves off from God's blessings, His usefulness, and encouragement. If we cut ourselves off from usefulness and service, then we're cutting ourselves off of God's blessings and His encouragement. And the wilderness is no place for encouragement. We won't find other people in the wilderness that are encouraged, probably not. Elijah's focus changed and his fellowship was lost. Let's look at verse 11. This is an interesting part of this situation. When Elijah gets a message and he's supposed to go up on the mount before the Lord, and the Lord passed by with a great and strong wind. It says it tore the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Just imagine yourself standing there and you have such a great wind that it tears the mountains and breaks the rocks. I don't know exactly what was happening there. It just says Elijah went up and the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. I don't think it was just a little campfire. I think Elijah saw a bright, blazing fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Now, Elijah knew what it's like to talk to God. I believe Elijah heard God speak audibly to him. And he had this relationship with God that was very close. And Elijah knew God's not in the wind. He's not in the earthquake. And he's not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? God took him right back. Took him right back to where he had left off. Isn't that how it is with us? If we get discouraged, or if we lose focus, we have to go back where we left off. Elijah, why are you here, Elijah? Why are you out here? And Elijah said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Elijah had it all wrong. He was not the only one left. Interesting here, in verse 15, God reinstated Elijah. God reinstated him. And the Lord said unto him, Go. Go back, Elijah. Go back to the way of the wilderness of Damascus. And when you go back, when you get there, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. He not only reinstated him, he gave him work to do. But he had to go back. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. In other words, Elisha is going to take your place. But go back and get these things in order, Elisha. There's work for you to do. I find great encouragement in these verses. Elijah messed up. He got his focus off. He ran away. He asked that the Lord would end his life. And the God of mercy came and said, No, Elijah, go back. Go back. I have work for you to do. God is a God of second chance. We see that in the life of Jonah over and over. Jonah, of all things, disobeyed God. And God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah went to Tarshish, got a ship, and God spared his life. And then when he it grieved Jonah that the city repented. God was a God of mercy all through Jonah's life. He is a God of second chance. Verse 17, And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. God had it all figured out. That's the amazing thing about our God. There is nothing hidden from Him. And He has it. He will have it all nicely figured out if we just obey Him. 18th, and yet I have reserved to me 7,000 Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. 7,000 people. Elijah had it all wrong. And God gave Elijah a right perspective here in verse 18. You're not the only one, Elijah. And let's take courage in this. You know, the world is waxing worse and worse. Iniquity is abounding everywhere. And, you know, there's, like Brother Nathan said last Sunday, here is there's brothers and there's sisters who once were among us or who loved the Lord, who go out, and it grieves us. It's such a sad, heartbreaking almost thing to see. Worship with people who love the Lord and then see them throw it all away. And I'm not talking about just a different lifestyle. I'm saying denying the faith of God, the faith in God. We are not alone. And let's don't think that as iniquity abounds, that let's don't allow Satan to sink us here and think that we are the only ones left. We are not, brothers and sisters. There is thousands of people. And there will be until Jesus comes back. Jesus said, I will be with you every day. I will be with you. Can Jesus go back on His promises? No, never. I will be with you every day, even until the end. We see a similar incident in the New Testament, as we see here, here in Elijah. And it was over a coals of fire. After Jesus died, Peter had denied Him 3 times, and Jesus is on the shore that morning preparing a fish breakfast over coals of fire, and He reinstates Peter. Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yeah, Lord, I love you. 3 times. God is a God of second chance. Let's don't get our eyes off of God and off of His Word. Let me conclude this morning. How long has it been since you have talked with God and told Him all about your struggles or all about your hidden secrets? How long has it been since you've told God just everything? Do you find yourself this morning under a broom tree, a juniper tree, discouraged? Or do you know of somebody that is under that tree? If you find yourself under that tree, let me remind you, let me encourage you, the Lord is not sending someone to shout at you, but He's sending somebody to whisper a word to you. Listen if they speak. If somebody comes and speaks, listen. God still speaks in a still small voice. if you do find yourself under a juniper tree, number two is be honest. Be honest where you're at this morning. Be honest with your focus. Be honest with where your fellowship is at with God and with God's people. And be assured that God is like the psalmist says. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Get a hold of that one. How high is heaven above the earth? It says, so great is His mercy above. So great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgression. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, and He remembers that we are dust. What a blessing that is. I'd like to finish with a quote. A few quotes. It's not difficult to believe that God loves us when we're on the height of Mount Carmel. It's not difficult at all to know that God loves us when we're on the height of Mount Carmel. But it's not so easy when, like Elijah, we find ourselves in the wilderness, stranded, maybe fearful, hopeless, struggling, or discouraged. That's when it's harder to know, does God really care? Does God really love us? It's necessary for us to know that the love of God abides and is unchanging. And God's love is meted out first for our needs, and then beyond that. The last thing I want you to do is, when you feel discouraged, don't allow the accuser to come in and tell you that you're finished. Don't allow the accuser do what he loves to do with everyone. Just tell you that you are no good, you messed up, you're finished. That is a lie. Satan is a liar and the father of it. Where are you at this morning? I'm here to tell you that God is a faithful God. And if you stay in fellowship with God and with one another, you will find God there for every trial. And take courage this morning. Jesus said it this way, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." And in Hebrews chapter 12, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. I'd like to close in prayer. Can we all kneel for prayer this morning? Dear Lord Jesus, we are thankful this morning that You are the same today as You were yesterday, as You always were, Lord. As we looked into Your Word, we see a reflection of ourselves, Lord. And Father, we all encounter some hopeless situations at times. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to You, Lord. We pray this morning, Lord, that You would help us. If there are some here this morning, Lord, who have been tempted to feel like Elijah and saying, it is enough, I pray, Lord, that You would bring a word of encouragement, Lord. And You would help these people, help us all today, Lord, to encourage someone on their journey, Lord. We are pilgrims and strangers, O Father. And we face battles that sometimes overwhelm us. But Lord, we know if we keep our focus on You, we can make it till the end. We ask that You would help us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You said Your yoke is easy and Your burden is light. And give us that perspective, even when things look helpless. Help us, Father, to trust You, to learn of You, Lord Jesus. Thank You for this day, Lord. I thank You for this fellowship in this community here, Lord. We pray that You would bless them and help them to stand on Your precious promises. Father, we ask that Your judgments would be just, and we thank You that they are. Reward us, Father, not according to our iniquities. We thank You that Your mercy is great, Lord, this morning. And I just pray, Father, again, that You would restore, You would quicken us by Your Spirit, and that the grace and the mercy of Your Son, the Lord Jesus, would be flowing in us and through us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Amos, for that word from the Lord, from God's Word. I really appreciated that. Especially appreciate the thought there about Elisha's problem all began when he lost his focus, or his focus changed from God to his circumstances. And that is where we lose our way, is when we lose sight of God. We lose that view that God has. It reminds me of the message that Brother Daniel Kennison preached several years ago. The title of it was, Believing is Seeing. So many times we use that phrase, seeing is believing. You know, we'll believe it when we see it. But faith is when we see something that we don't see. We see it by faith. We believe, and thus we see it. So may we have our focus on God and not on our circumstances like what happened there with Elijah. But the reality is we often find ourselves there in Elijah's shoes, don't we? But the other encouraging thing is God's mercy and His faithfulness, His willingness to reach out to us where we are, show compassion, not let us wallow in our self-pity, but rather remind us where reality is and where He is. And I believe that's what God did here. He just helped Elijah to get his focus back on God, brought him back to a still small voice, and he realized, you know, God still does have a purpose for me. And then He gave him work to do again, and He raised him up. So I've been blessed and encouraged. Trust that you have been too. We'll take a few minutes here to open it up if someone has some comments. Maybe you just have a confession, or maybe you want to ask for prayer. We're just a family here. You can be real and honest with each other, I trust. So if you have something you'd like to share, raise your hand. Someone will get a microphone to you. Brother Ephraim.
Well, I thank the Lord this morning for another word of exhortation and encouragement that He gave us. It just seems like Sunday after Sunday we get blessed and encouraged. And I agree with Brother Amos. Sunday's the best day of the week. And but back to this message, thinking about Prophet Elijah and the great man of God that he was, and yet he did have this time of a little time in life where he was discouraged and depressed, we might say. Why is it that the Bible gives us this story and other great men as well? Noah had his failure. Moses even did, where he finally was just exasperated with the people and showed his anger by hitting the rock instead of talking to it. And God gave an example there that, you know, even Moses, he wasn't perfect. David, same way. And now Elijah this morning. But God honored him after this also with, well, he sent Elisha to be his helper and a continuer of the same work as Elijah was taken away to heaven. He even got a ride on a fiery chariot into heaven. He was greatly honored by the Lord. Yet he was made of the same stuff we are. We tend to easily lift up one man and worship man maybe, or lift him up too much. And God has His ways of preventing that from happening. I was thinking about in Jesus' time, how there's a woman that cried out to Jesus, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked." In other words, blessed is your mother must be so blessed that she raised a man like you. Jesus turned it right around and said, "Yes, but rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Mm-hmm. That can be for everybody. It's not just for one extra privileged person, it's for all of us. So may God be blessed and glorified, and I want to take that message to heart, and may we all just be people of faith.
Amen.
A phrase there that the brother used closer to the beginning is weak as water, and that's kind of been with me here the rest of the sermon. You know, by ourselves, or when Elijah took his focus off of God and on himself, yes, he was weak. A drop of water is weak. But then God reminded him of the 7,000 faithful, and he talked of faith and not just focusing on ourselves, and got me to thinking that together, that 7,000 representing the church, brothers, faithful brothers and sisters, and faith in God. And when you put all that together, a drop of water, when you multiply that many, many times together, drops of water together, it turns into a flood. And water can be a very unstoppable force, really. And may that be our encouragement, that together with God we can press on.
Amen.
Also a tremendous inspiration again with that scripture and one of the favorite passages. But I was blessed with the fact there in 19 that God would raise up a Jehu and a Elisha that would take the work on and do further, bring further judgment upon the evil in Israel. And That's such an encouragement to me. Elijah was nearing perhaps the time of his departure, or getting and hitting a low time in his life there. And God encouraged him so much and had mercy on him in his humanity here to let him know that other men are going to rise up. And as we further know, that Elisha had a double portion of his spirit and performed exactly double the miracles, I think, that are recorded in the Old Testament there. So what a blessing as we get older that we can look to God. We're not the only one left, and we haven't done everything, and now everything's going to collapse, you know. But that God is going to raise up other men with a vision, with a passion, who will take the work further.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.